The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time for the Blitz, covering the NFL, the Caps, the Commanders. Let's do it. Nate Davis, USA Today Sports, to start us off. Nate, I want to get a national perspective on the Commanders. Did you learn more about Pittsburgh or Washington yesterday?
I think probably Pittsburgh, Grant. I mean their schedule hasn't been great up to this point. You know, obviously we've been trying to figure out if they made the right call or not with the switch to Russell Wilson, and you know their schedule is about to really get serious as they enter the divisional part, which they haven't had any AFC North games yet. So I think I learned more about them, but. Certainly looking forward to Thursday night with the Commanders Eagles as well.
How is it this bad for the Jets, Nate?
It seems like organizational failing. I certainly think that Woody Johnson kind of having the reflexive firing of Robert Saleh triggered all of this, and it's just kind of been a cascading failure of coaching, locker room stuff. But I mean, it's mind-boggling that. You know, Aaron Rodgers comes out every week and tells you that they've got this path to the playoffs. They get 10 days off after a great win, and then they play the way they did, really without any life at all, yesterday in Arizona. So it's going to be really interesting to see where they go from here, meaning 2025 and beyond, given what they've got to figure out, both really from the top down.
The Lions beat the Texans yesterday. They were down 23-7 in a game where Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. And they still won, which is amazing. They're 8-1. They're really, really good. I thought that was a terrible loss for Houston, though. What's going on with the Texans? I just feel like they should be better than they are.
Yeah, I mean, they've clearly got some issues there in the passing game, Grant. Yeah, you know, Nico Collins isn't back yet. Stephon Diggs is gone. I think the Lions really focused on taking Joe Mixon away. I mean, was he 46 yards last night and 25 carries? Like something crazy. Like that, so they really reduced their offense down to their weakness, and were able to claw back in that game. You know, C.J. Stroud turned the ball over as well. I mean, like you said, I think that was the first 5 interception game a team had overcome in like 12 years. So, really rare to see a team overcome that. But you know, when you've got that many tricks in your bag and all the weapons the Lions do, and their defense has really kind of rebounded and come along since losing Aiden Hutchinson. You know, it's really starting to feel like who's going to knock off the Lions in the NFC at this point, because it really seems like they're cruising towards that number one seed and maybe into the Super Bowl.
What should the Colts do at quarterback, Nate?
I mean, I think you have to play Anthony Richardson, Danny. It is a conundrum that a guy that has so little starting experience going back to high school, and I think it was like 13 combined starts or something between high school and the University of Florida, like it's shockingly low. I mean, you need to play football, but I mean, on the opposite side of the coin, someone that inexperienced also probably needs time to develop. So I don't know what the right answer is there. It seemed like they had a good plan for him last year when he was really making good use of his legs and had kind of limited throws. You know, I haven't seen as much use of the legs this year with Shane Steichen, but they really. But I think they need to make more use of good at right now and try to let the other stuff develop. But I think at some point Anthony Richardson's got to play football. If you hope he's going to get any better and be what you draft him to be that high up.
San Francisco, out of their bye week, survives a scare. They miss three field goals. They still win. Is this finally when they hit the gas pedal now, do you think, and really start to become the team they are supposed to?
Well, I think they're going to become the team that they are. You know, they're obviously not getting Brandon Ayuk back. We don't know if they're getting Dre Greenlaw back. But, I mean, they're still obviously very talented. I mean, they're going to be in a dogfight, probably a four-way dogfight, at least three ways in that division. I'll be curious. To me, they ought to make a little more use of Christian McCaffrey in the slot, which they did yesterday. But I would try to get guys like Jordan Mason and Isaac Garrido on the field with him to try to maximize what you've got, you know, in your backfield, which we saw the last couple of weeks, plus McCaffrey. But, I mean, historically, this team is a very good second-half team under Kyle Shanahan. So, yes, I would expect them to hit the gas pedal, you know, win seven or eight of their games here in the second half, and then we'll see where the chips fall. I mean, they've only missed one NFC title game in the last five seasons. So they know how to win. They know how to get going.
Nate, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Hit that puck sounder, please. Our pal Tarik Arbashir covers the Capitals. That's why he's going to talk about the Capitals with us right now on the Beltway Blitz. Tarik, catch us up. Busy weekend. They got a touchdown, went for two, but they lost to the stupid Penguins. Start with the first one first, and then go to the good one.
Yeah, I mean, the Penguins game, they came out flat. They're a much better team than the Penguins are right now. Their two teams kind of headed in different directions, but kind of the record books go out the window when those teams play each other because of the rivalry, and you come out flat, you give up two goals. Yeah, they did end up tying the game, but I felt like they were chasing that game the whole time. You know, bad loss, maybe their worst of the season. And then they get on a plane and they fly 2 hours west to St. Louis, and they stomp the Blues. I mean, what a performance. 8 goals, 15 different players recorded a point. I mean, just one of the best efforts I've seen from this team in the Spencer Carberry era. You know, Alex Ovechkin gets 2 goals. Connor McMichael gets 2 goals. They now have 2 players in double-digit goals in Ovi and McMichael, only team in the league that has that. They are scoring goals like it's nothing, and it's such – a juxtaposition to last year where they had to, you know, it took every bit of their fiber of their being and their effort to score 3 goals, right? And now they're averaging almost 4.5. It's amazing. They're getting good defense. They're getting good goaltending. Don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but 10-4, they're looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, 3 of the top 4 skaters in the league and points per 60 minutes are Capitals right now. Tells you a
right.
lot. Tarik El-Bashir and I were alt-casting together on Wednesday and Saturday this week, so it's been good to be kicking it with him on our Monumental Sports alt-casts. How about Wednesday night coming up with the Toronto Maple Leafs in town to take on the Capitals? Should be an entertaining game.
Yeah, no doubt. It'll probably be a high-scoring game. You know, we don't know about the status of Austin Matthews' upper body injury. Not sure if he's going to be back for that game. If he's not, that's, of course, a bonus for the Capitals. Look, the Maple Leafs are still an offensive juggernaut. I believe they've got 6 players who are in double digits in points. I want to say Spencer Carberry hasn't beaten his former team yet. Neither has Rasmus Sandin. So those are 2 guys who are going to be uber motivated to get a win against the Leafs. It should be a fun one. And then the Caps go on the road for what, Grant, in my opinion, is going to be their biggest test of the young season. I know they played Vegas at home and Dallas at home and the Rangers at home. Those were tough games. But now they're going on the road right after this Maple Leafs game to play Colorado, Vegas again, and Utah, who is one of the surprises of this young season. I think the next four games are going to give us a pretty good idea of what this Capitals team is. And it looks pretty good right now, but when they get back from Utah, I think we'll know, is this a team that we should start hyping up and getting excited about, because they might be able to make a run.
Speaking of looking good right now, Tarek, Alex Ovechkin, physically, when you just see him like sitting down for an interview or something post-game, he looks like one of my neighbors that like is okay at racquetball. You know what I mean? Like, just looks like a regular guy, not this unbelievable juggernaut that's got 10 goals, to your point, that's, you know, scored whatever it is, five of his last six or whatever the totals are.
He's 39.
It's not even mind-boggling. It's mind-bottling. My mind is in a bottle. Just do your best to quantify this and explain what we're seeing.
You know, it's funny. I asked Spencer Carberry about that today, and he said he's skating better than he did last year, and because he's skating better, and to my eyes, you know, Ovi will never give me a straight answer when I ask him about weight and things he did over the summer. He just kind of laughs it off, but to my eyes, he looks like he's a little bit thinner. He's a little bit fitter. He's as Carberry said, he is skating and getting to the right areas, and when you're getting to the right areas, it makes scoring a lot easier, right? And it all begins with being able to get there. You know, I think about the goal against the Blues the other night where, you know, Strome gets it over to Protas. Protas one touches it over to Ovi. Ovi has now, you know, skated hard, gotten into a soft spot of the offensive zone, and it's on his stick and it's off his stick. You know, last year he might have bobbled that puck. He might not have even been there because he wasn't skating as well, but he's now skating well, and he gets there and he puts it under the crossbar. Binnington didn't even see it go in and out of the net. And, that's what we're seeing from him right now. I mean, when I went into the season, guys, I was like, yeah, you know what? He'll probably break the record. I think he's going to do it. Let's say Thanksgiving 25, you know, 20 games into next season. Now, if you're a fan, you better start looking at tickets at home and on the road for late February, early March. I mean, Ovi's most likely going to break this Gretzky record this year, and we probably should start preparing for that.
Unreal.
Crazy.
Tarek, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Anytime, guys.
Good catching up. Our next Altcast, by the way, we got 8 more days, November 19th.
Nice.
The next time we'll have a Caps Altcast.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's talk about the football operation. The Commanders are 7-3 after losing by a point to the Steelers yesterday. Our guy Kevin Sheehan joins us to discuss that very matchup. Kevin, we were just asking, encouraged or discouraged after yesterday's game without Robinson, without two offensive tackles, coming down to a point against Pittsburgh?
More encouraged, guys. Thanks for having me. But not for anything that happened offensively. I thought by far and away it was the best defensive day of the year against a good opponent. You know, Pittsburgh had the ball 13 times, and 9 times they didn't score. That's a far lower, you know, rate than has been happening against the better teams that they faced. I thought they did a decent job stopping the run for the first time all year. You know, Russell Wilson made some plays, and they struggled a little bit on the back end. But I thought that it was encouraging. I think Philadelphia is a tough matchup because you got to sell out to stop the run, and they got a quarterback involved in the run game. But I didn't view this, as I know many did, as like a bad loss. I viewed it as a disappointing loss because it was winnable and it was kind of a wild game and it was intense and it would have been great to get. But I think there was some encouragement to take out of it.
Agreed that there's a lot of encouraging things here, Kevin. Let me make my bad loss case, and then I want your response to it. If this had been, well, you don't have Wiley, and Biadasz goes down for part of the game, and that defensive line, T.J. Watt and company, just wrecked everything, I'd go, yeah, well, that's what happens, right? I get that. That makes sense. What happened had, to me, had nothing to do with some of the subs. It had nothing to do with the fact that they were on another kicker or anything like that. This was punts being muffed. This was catches in the middle of the field that just weren't caught. This is drops. This is, you know, controllable mistakes. That's why, even though they were playing a good opponent, which, without a doubt, they're encouraging things, the way they lost it to me is just galling. You know, gut punch type stuff. Give me your thoughts there.
Well, I mean, I think if Pittsburgh had lost it, they could have said the same thing.
Sure.
I mean, there was a blatant hold on the ball that Jaden missed to McCaffrey from the end zone that should have been a safety.
Mm-hmm.
On a field goal, there was a blatant hold. You know, there were some misses that Russell had in the game, although he hit more of the big ones than Jaden did in the game. I don't know. I think, you know, we all watch a lot of NFL games. It's like a lot of games are like this one. You know, a few mistakes here, a few missed opportunities there, and it comes down to a couple of plays, and it's like it's wildly entertaining. And yesterday's game had so much to it. But, you know, to me, a bad loss was when they got blown out by Chicago last year on a Thursday
yes.
night, or the Cleveland game when Grant asked Rivera after the game about, you know, did they know that they could be eliminated? You know, like, those are bad losses. And maybe this is just a semantics thing. Yesterday, you had two good football teams, and they made good plays, and there were mistakes, and it ended up that, you know, they made one more really good play and maybe one less bad play. But I like this spot. I like the trajectory of everything. And for me, because I've been harping on just how bad they've been against the run, I thought that was the most encouraging thing. And if you get Lattimore, you know, back in, you know, at some point, that helps even more.
Kevin Sheehan, the Kevin Sheehan Show. We're in lockstep, I think, on just about everything you're saying, especially, and I'm going to ask this question next, and we're going to take some calls on this. I want to get Danny's thoughts. I said this earlier. I thought the defense not only did enough to win, but was really, really encouraging. I thought there were a lot of good things on that side of the ball yesterday. You needed one more play to be made that they didn't make, but how many times did you ask them to go out on the field and protect a one-possession lead? I mean, that's a bad ask, and frankly, that's not what this team should really be built to do the way things are trending. Just what did you think about the defensive showing?
Again, I mean, it was their best run-stopping effort of the season. I'm not talking about, you know, take the Carolina game and the Cleveland game, two teams that, you know, were essentially had the ability to do nothing. This was a team that was averaging over 6 yards per carry in their last three games coming in. Washington held them to 3.3 yards. Harris himself was over 6 yards per carry coming in the last three games, 2.5 yards per carry. That's a really good job against the run. They gave up a couple of plays. They gave up a couple of outside runs to Warren. They took the ball away twice. The other punter on the other team punted 5 times. We've had games this year where, you know, we haven't punted and the other team hasn't punted. And I just thought it was a weird game in that it was a high possession game. They had 13 opportunities. We had 12. And we've played a lot of, you know, low possession games. And I don't know. I thought the defense overall was encouraging. Here's the thing, Grant. When you sell out like they did to stop the run, and I counted 5 times in the first three quarters where they had almost 9 in the box, you're going to be left vulnerable in man coverage to deep shots. And hopefully Lattimore makes a big difference being able to cover the, you know, other team's number one, although Sanders still, I think, probably was on Pickens more than St. Juice was. But it's still the right poison, I think, to pick, because you don't want to get gashed, you know, with more people in coverage. But it was a tough matchup. Thursday night's going to be a tough matchup. I think more importantly, Thursday night offensively, you gotta make more plays. And yesterday for Jaden, that was, you know, look, we're comparing it to greatness over the last eight games. I think he made a lot of really good plays in the game, but there were some missed opportunities that would have certainly made a difference in the game.
Kevin, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
All right, guys.
Kevin Sheehan, ladies and gentlemen, that's our guy, Kevin Sheehan Show. And that is your Beltway Blitz.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.